Hello, I'm James, and I've been a Seinfeld fan forever.
Hello, I'm Steve. Seinfeld passed me by, but my good time buddy assures me it's very much worth my time.
And together, we're watching the entire Seinfeld series and making our own commentary track in another Seinfeld podcast we call Hello, Newman. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, do 48 episodes, but a seat your pants, and then like have a go at making one of them sound
that good.
Don't ask me how I'm spelling that, will you?
Lots of F's and B's, I should think.
I would have thought so, yeah. Or PH's.
Could be.
Some PH's, because it's sort of f-f-f sound. I think I might have added that last one, I'm sorry. I'll try harder when we're doing it for real.
Sure.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready, then.
Okay, then. Welcome to the show. This is episode 49.
Goodness.
Of Hello, Newman. The Seinfeld podcast that no one, including us, asked for. We ended up doing it by accident. Thank you for listening to it. We really appreciate it. We're joking. We're doing it because I love Seinfeld. And Steve agreed.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So yeah. one person asked for it.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah. Basically, one person asked for it. Yeah,
one's all you need, surely.
That's what the Beatles said, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's the posh Beatles. That's what they sung.
Yeah,
one is all you need.
They were from the Wirral.
They were. That's right. Yeah, from the nice side of the water. So this being the 49th episode, let me just say this. Please do rate and review us, preferably iTunes, I'd say. Would iTunes be your preferred? I mean, you can go to any podcatcher you like. I've got a friend who calls them podcatchers, so I call them that now.
Yeah, it's a good term. It's nice.
Yeah, I'd like to say pod listening client. Do you have any preferences for the of how you listen to podcasts?
I am very much an Apple boy through and through, so I do use the stock applications.
Yes,
It's but,
good though, isn't
but,
it?
But other applications are available. Stitcher, I hear, is good. Pocket Casts, I hear, is good. Mm. Overcast is good.
You know, Steve, I've long been a Howl subscriber. So I'm very, very fond of the Earwolf family of podcasts. I have to say, they've really been pushing for us to migrate to Stitcher, given that it's all part of the same company. I'm not keen on the interface compared to Howl. So that was a conversational dead end I just led us down to. So reversing,
I don't really
back,
have much to say about Stitcher apart from it's there.
It's there, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, it's some good content, good original content. I've enjoyed some of the original documentaries. If you're a fan of podcasts, and God, if you're listening to this, you've got to be. Can I heartily recommend, actually, the original documentary Heaven's Gate that was on Stitcher recently? I know we don't normally do recommendations, but now while I'm thinking of it, it was excellent. And I haven't really got any social media to speak of anymore. So,
so this is it.
This is my one chance to tell people other than those immediately surrounding me that Heaven's Gate was a superb podcast series about the Heaven's Gate cult.
Crikey.
Anyway, please do rate and review us. We would really appreciate it. But not as much as we appreciate you just taking the time to listen.
Of course.
We are going to watch an episode of Seinfeld. We're going to watch it on Amazon Prime here in the United Kingdom of America. And there are other places to watch it. We've discussed that before. You watch it where you want to watch it. What I do know is we're watching season 4. It's all right. I'll edit that bit out where I stopped to yawn. It's fine. It's late. What can I say? Yeah. Season 4, episode... I'm not going to edit it out. Season 4, episode 9, The Virgin.
Ooh.
Ooh. I tell you what, Steve, are you ready?
I am.
I'm ready. I've got the episode all queued up.
But I'm ready.
Okay. It's not the first time you've watched this, so let's not pretend.
True enough.
You've watched this previously for review purposes.
I have.
Yeah.
For my consideration.
Yeah, this doesn't just happen, this show.
No.
Nah, we don't just sit...
It seems like it, but no,
yeah,
seriously.
We don't just sit down and start talking. It's fine. So season 4, episode 9, The Virgin, and I'm going to press play right now.
Boom.
I don't agree. I think text message is fine. A fine way to break up a break up a relationship, I'm sure, Jerry, there would have been an episode on Modern Seinfeld where George would have ended a relationship by text by now.
I would expect so. Back then, yeah, it would have been Telegram?
That's right, Telegram. Or you'd send around a footman.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've got footman.
Hello, footman.
Hello, footman. Oh,
we're back at the improv.
We're starting not only at the improv, but the improv... Ization. Who's this? Who's written it, Steve?
Yeah.
Peter the Mailman.
Mm-hmm.
And who else, Steve?
The Farrelly Brothers.
Oh, the Farrelly Brothers, famous for such films as... And I'm going to list them in the order that the book I have in front of me lists them.
Okay.
Because I find the ordering bizarre here. The Three Stooges.
Oh.
Shallow Hal.
Mm.
Me, Myself and Irene.
Mm-hmm.
There's Something About Mary and Dumb and Dumber.
Wrong order.
Yeah. Why open on The Three Stooges? I thought most people had managed to forget about that film at this point in history.
Why even mention it?
Yeah, I know. But otherwise, this book is excellent. So they're in the improv and they're talking about women.
They briefly mentioned they've thrown away a whole bunch of weeks trying to do the pilot. And then, on to the ladies. Yeah. George, he's got something going on here. Yeah. He's already kind of moving beyond Susan by the looks of things.
Oh, he's trying to work his writing. But, Steve.
Yeah.
Look, it's Daphne.
It is. We should mention it's Jane Leaves, shouldn't we?
It is. It's Jane Leaves. If only she would.
With a non-Mancunian accent.
Well, Jane Leaves with a slightly more home counties, I think, English accent.
Yeah.
Steve, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Why is it no matter what character the English actor Jane Leaves plays, she sounds like an American person trying to do an English accent?
Interesting.
It's something about her voice, mate.
Sounds a bit Australian at times.
It does a little bit, doesn't it?
Which is usually what Americans do when they try and do an English accent.
Unfortunately, I find that in this point in history, after so many seasons of Frasier,
yes,
very distracting having Jane Leaves appear in a Seinfeld episode.
It is.
Do you not think?
It is. It was a surprise. And I then looked it up and said, is this before Frasier?
Oh, this
Which it is.
Pre-Frasier, yeah. She plays Marla, a professional wardrobe organiser.
Only in Manhattan.
Yeah, a professional wardrobe organiser.
Ski pass.
I like the detail of the ski pass. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. I remember doing something similar when I was 13 and I went skiing with the school. And I'm pretty sure I left my ski pass on for a good year.
Want to dine out on that pass.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm sophisticated.
I know the mountains.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is George Costanza is very much like the 14-year-old me. I have more hair. Right, George is trying to assess the state of the union as far as his relationship with Susan is concerned. And it's good. The state is good, but George, I think George would prefer it not to be good. George is starting to get cold feet on Susan.
He is.
Who's remarkable given the longevity of that relationship so far.
And the amount of drama she's been put through.
Indeed so.
Yeah.
Ah, Lorraine Dublas. There in the background, famously appears in the majority of episodes now when they go to Monks. Doing a brilliant bit of background acting. Lorraine Dubois, born in 1928. She appeared in many silent films as a child before progressing into bit parts in regional television adverts. Lorraine Dubois. Would you button your shirt up that eye, bruv?
Let me wait until the shot changes back. Oh, you know what? I wouldn't do it now.
Yeah.
But back then I did.
I don't know, though. I mean, it's got a kind of modern, modish look to it now, hasn't it? Like, you know, that Sam Smith would probably do something similar, wouldn't he?
Oh, I'm sure he would.
Yeah. So he sounds to me. He sung Skyfall famously, didn't he? George is in a Gordian's knot.
Yeah.
How unfortunate. He's got a job that allows him to pick up but a girlfriend that I had a friend who had a theory when we were very young that women were only attracted to him when he was with another woman. I have to say, the anecdotal evidence that we had to go on proved him right.
Yeah.
Well, probably confidence. I don't know.
Yeah. Name dropping David Letterman here.
David Letterman?
Yeah.
Yeah. She likes him. He's got a... Of course, he's now well into, 2 months into his new Netflix series, David Letterman.
Hmm. I've yet to see it, but I will.
I haven't seen it yet either, and I love Letterman.
It's all the Seinfeld.
Yeah. Here we go. This is her Marla at work. Measuring Jerry's closet.
Yes.
Given the size of his flat, he's got a big old closet though, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think this is the first time we've seen any aspect of his bedroom.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're opening up new rooms, new vistas.
This is the East Wing.
Yeah, hook system. I have to say I hate it, Steve.
The hook system?
Yeah.
It probably felt like the future back then.
I hate it.
I tell you what, son, put all your money on hooks.
Yeah. But did you know that Jackie Swanson, who played Kelly in Cheers.
Yeah.
And Dee Dee Pfeiffer, the sister of Michelle, auditioned for the role of Marla.
Mm.
Yeah. That's a fact. This, of course, is the show's 50th episode. Congratulations, Seinfeld. Happy birthday.
Hooray.
Apparently there was a cake.
Go outside. There's weather.
Yeah. We have a lot of weather. Have you noticed? Every day, weather, weather, weather.
Mm. Almost too much.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh, yeah, you will. Good.
That was a fun little turn from Michael Richards, wasn't it?
It was a fun little turn from Michael Richards. She did some very good writing acting there. But her a boyfriend left her for a wall. But there was a problem, Steve. A problem. Of some sort. Hopefully, I love that.
The second.
I love that. The fact that she had to buzz twice and she didn't get it. It's fantastic. But it builds up the tension in terms of the reveal of what she's about to tell him. Ah, Snapple. That will run. Let me tell you about the Snapple after this.
Okay.
She's a virgin, Steve. Oh, here's Elaine.
Perfect entrance.
Yeah, the perfect person to turn up when someone's just admitted they're a virgin. The very, very promiscuous Elaine comes in. You ever seen Havana, Steve?
I have not.
No, nor have I. I've had.
I feel like the authentic experience would be to see it on VHS.
Without doubt, yeah. It's like, I have to say... Smutty films.
Snapple.
Smutty films don't feel the same now they're not on VHS. But that feels like a different podcast.
It does, doesn't it?
Okay, Snapple. You ready for me to tell you about Snapple?
Let's do it.
Do you remember the product placement we noticed previously?
Oh, yes.
I believe this is a response to the fact that there was some really egregious product placement. It's a running joke became they kept referencing Snapple. It was... they were kind of poking fun at themselves.
Mm.
I like it. Oh, Jerry was doing a good laugh stifle there, I thought.
Yeah. He's being very careful. But it's like a perfect foil to the situation, isn't it? So funny.
I think there's every chance when I saw this years ago, because this is one that I saw a long time ago. I'm pretty sure I learnt about diaphragms from Seinfeld.
I think I learned about diaphragms from Look Who's Talking.
Oh, goodness, really?
Yeah. Or Look Who's Talking To...
Which one's got the ghost in it? Both of them. Ted Danson. Ted Danson!
They both featured the ghost of L. Ron Hubbard.
Oh, he gets about, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
He, you know why he turned into a ghost, don't you?
Why's that?
He was so keen on going clear.
So why is Jerry oversharing with everybody?
I don't know.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. For plot purposes?
Well, yes.
I mean, internal monologues aren't much good for characters in a sitcom.
Yeah.
Apart from Jerry, of course, whose internal monologue we often hear. Oh, what are we going to do about this virgin? I was going to ask you if you've ever dated a virgin, but there's a cul-de-sac there that I don't really want to go down.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, but do you like China?
Bit of Chinese food there.
I don't know if we've ever eaten Chinese food together. I can't stand it, mate.
I have that way down on the list. What a slide.
Ultra slide. Sorry, Steve.
His Chinese food radar was kicking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I find it too salty. It makes me too thirsty. It's the MSG.
This MSG is making me thirsty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which, ironically, Kramer wants more of.
Oh, yeah.
He asks for extra MSG. Do you think they give you extra if you ask for it?
Yeah. Why not? Someone needs it.
I like this, though. This is a show about nothing, this scene, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's have Chinese.
Yeah.
And then they spend ages prevaricating on exactly what they are going to have. Because no one can agree.
Absolutely.
Anyway, here we go.
Elaine tutoring Marla the Virgin on the various pitfalls of sexual relations in the 90s.
Yes.
What better tutor, Steve, could she have?
Elaine, of course, not speaking from scientific research or from a large pool of friends and their experiences. She's just talking about her.
Cohort of one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's anti-scientific, Steve. And that's what I don't like about it. I love how they dress her. Very buttoned up.
Oh, yes.
It's very... I like that the costume chosen for her sort of sends signals quite clearly.
Signals,
as well.
Jane. Signals.
Click, click. Oh, this is great. George's grand idea for this sitcom. Yeah. Becomes butler. My butler. Brilliant. Hackish idea. I love it. I think it's fantastic. only a maniac would make a sitcom like that. Got that in the end. Time to charm. I'm with Jerry. Why is he tucked untucked more at the back than the front? Why does Jerry's clothing confuse me so much, Steve?
Oh, it's a bit strange.
So, reoccurring character here.
Is that so?
I like the attention to detail. Do you not remember when George decided to get himself some hair cream from China?
Oh,
and the Chinese delivery guy turned up.
Yeah.
Wong, I think he's called. I feel racist.
Let's just say we don't know, but it's Ping here.
Yeah, let's... Oh,
which is obviously a very comfortable name, isn't it?
Well, it's because I've been listening to Dan Harmon's Whiting Wong's podcast, so I've got that name in my head. Yeah, but he was Ping in that one as well. Mm. So I like that attention to casting detail that... I think that was a season ago now. But even the Chinese delivery guy is consistent, you know?
Mm.
And it creates... it's a real world. They live in a... It's a weird world. It's a magical reality, but it's real. Slightly different posters up, I've noticed this time when they visit NBC.
I don't remember seeing Sisters before.
Maybe it didn't make it over here, but I do remember...
Because I think Blossom had that spot last time.
I definitely remember Law and Order, and I definitely remember the poster right behind Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Who could forget Quantum Leap?
Quantum Leap,
Leap. Oh, boy. Do you think he knew then...
It's getting a bit frosty.
Do you think then he knew that he'd be the first captain of a warp-capable Enterprise?
No, I don't think it would have occurred to him.
Captain Jonathan Archer there. And his friend, Ding from Dune. Dr. Huey, of course, who plays Dr. Huey, doesn't he?
My mind is a blank. Huey? He did a Huey.
The Tooth.
Right.
The Tooth.
Okay.
It's good though, George is creating, covering their tracks.
Now George is...
David Letterman. Didn't get David Letterman on though, did they?
Of course not.
Of course, George has now left Jerry completely in the lurch. With a... Now there's a phrase I've used more than once.
Well, he has a point.
He does.
Here comes Jerry.
Yeah. Now
Bob, there is no Russell.
Bob Balaban was supposed to appear. I'm just going to read this verbatim.
Okay, fair enough.
Bob Balaban, who plays Russell Dalrymple. Okay, sorry. Credit here. Before I read this sentence, because I didn't write this sentence, to Dennis Bjorklund from the excellent Seinfeld Secrets and Insider Scoop about the show. Bob Balaban, who plays Russell Dalrymple, was supposed to appear in this scene, but the role was written out due to a scheduling conflict. It was established in the episode that Russell had to deal with a problem on the set of Blossom. In LA. I added the in LA bit myself.
Oh, right.
For additional context. So he's pitching in the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, I really like this.
Yeah, self-referential.
Yep.
Yeah. Funny, they're self-referencing one of the best episodes they ever wrote. Yeah. But there you go. Different show then.
It's amazing to think that something like that got to air.
Mm.
But it works very well.
Yeah.
But it's hard to explain.
It's because it was a show that was going under the radar, basically. And that's the only reason it got... The Seinfeld, it's always... I think they acknowledge... Because the first four episodes were paid for out of, like, the summer special budget.
Yeah.
And then, they only had enough to pay them for, like, half a season. And it's because it had that time to establish itself slowly under the radar that it allowed that sort of thing to happen. And I, for one, Steve, am very pleased.
Yep. So now now he's pitched the hacky idea, and of course everyone reveals their base desires when it comes to comedy.
Look how brilliant George is. He's walked in such a good mood, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
glad handing. That's nice. Nice to meet you. There you go, hello, darling.
Oh, Daisy.
Oh, but this is her work environment, Steve.
Yep.
Yikes. He's just kissed his girlfriend. Yep. Oh, God. And she is getting... Now, I'd call them evil bogs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, evil bogs from my boss.
She's been bogged at, no question.
Yeah.
So Kramer's addiction to television is not on the wing.
No, he's got rid of his own, and he's co-opted Jerry's to watch Jeopardy.
It's an addictive game show.
Yeah, funny, it's never really made it over to the UK, really, has it?
It didn't do well. No. They tried, but it didn't do well. It's the Pyramid Game did better.
That's true.
I like the Pyramid Game.
It's a show that failed to establish itself in Britain.
Mm.
Can I answer that in the form of a question, Steve?
Hello, what? Sorry, I was just in the moment with the phone call with Susan.
Sorry, yeah. Just say what is Jeopardy and we'll move on.
Okay. What is Jeopardy?
So I just told you.
Man. Oh, okay.
Oh, she's been fired, Steve.
She has been fired. And I'm loving the light and shade between the drama that's happening with George and Kramer.
In a world of his own.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's in Jeopardy land. Still ain't updated his Mac, has he?
No. I guess he's got to wait until that NBC money rolls in.
At least he didn't make a fool of himself earlier on in this podcast and he changes it every season. He's so
happy.
What
a jerk.
Yeah. He's out, Steve. He's out. Oh, Happy George is great, though, isn't he? Even if it is for evil reasons. Oh, dear. Jerry, the voice of reason.
Yeah.
And
the man's got a point.
Morally upstanding. Oh, he's entirely correct.
Yeah. Pull me back in. Nice.
Poor old George. Oh, hello.
Oh, Marla's got a thing for closets.
Well, obviously it's her kink, so she's kind of making it work for her.
It's just as well the hooks aren't there yet.
Yeah. Bless her, though, with all the questions she's got after talking of nasty Elaine.
No, yes.
Are you going to leave after the sex? He makes a good point when he says it's his apartment, doesn't he? Good gag. Does that work for him, do you think? He laughs them into bed. Oh, poor old Jerry.
Yeah, huh?
So...
Yeah.
You notice how much bigger wine glasses are these days? Can you imagine any sophisticated adult drinking out of wine glass that small?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
What a sherry connoisseur. I'm definitely overdubbing the bit where I called him warm. Oh, shit. It's sad. It's a sad...
They did have a good thing going, but George did completely screw it up.
He's a schwanz.
And there...
Mm.
Was a very key moment in my mind.
Yeah.
Because Elaine just recounted Susan's disastrous history on Seinfeld.
That's right, yeah.
A couple of lines of dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's nice that it was recognised.
Yeah. Brilliant. I love that. I love how self-deprecating this is. Yeah. That someone... A comedy writer, a sitcom writer, no less, has sat down and written that scene.
That's not a real job.
No, it's not a real job, is it? Not really. I don't care how much on their podcasts they talk about how hard it is. You're sitting down making up funnies all day, and that's not mining coal.
No. But it is mining gags.
It is, but you don't get as dirty, and you get paid a hell of a lot better. I've seen Dan Harmon's house. Nice. He will not undo that top button, will he?
No.
It's pathological with him.
There's a little vest up there. It's just different look for Jerry.
Steve, you got any stills that you want to draw attention to?
I would put that in the sartorial dustbin.
Yes.
I don't have anything for this.
Well, you carry on listening. You carry on watching. You carry on watching the stills there.
I mean, we can kind of riff.
We can riff. He's looking at things there. He's pointing at something. He's seen something. Get that out of here. I don't like llamas. Ooh, get that llama out of here. Betty. He's saying. Okay.
Calm down.
Let's not go mad. Don't unleash your wild cats. Okay, if you must unleash wild cats on me, that's fine. I'm going now. I've had enough. I'm going to tell my mama.
You did well there.
Thanks. Thanks, Steve. Okay, so that was, Steve, that was The Virgin.
It was The Virgin.
Steve.
Hello.
Tell me, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
What did you make of The Virgin the time you watched it without me yakking all the way through it?
We missed a couple of things actually yakking that I really liked. So we'll get around to those.
It was very riffable episode.
It was.
Sorry.
Do you know what? It's good. It's a good episode. I really, really like it. Mm.
Thank you, Steve.
Goodbye. So there were like good lines. There were good scenes. There was moments like the three guys ordering the Chinese, which you're talking about in the show about nothing, which I really liked as well. There was time in the episode for something, you know, silly like that.
Absolutely.
And I really enjoyed the scene with Marla kind of trying to spit out the fact that she's a virgin and that being immediately offset with Elaine coming in and
the double buzz.
Oh yeah. You were right to point that out because I really like that. I mean, it's something that happens anyway. Yeah. So on that level, it's absolutely true, but also, it's like you say, it's just ramping up that tension of this kind of, this reveal that's coming and the fact that mm-hmm. Elaine's going to burst in at some point yeah. and completely change the mood. Boy, does she.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, howdy. So there's a lot to, there is a lot to like and there is a lot to enjoy in there. There's some stuff going on, which isn't like the, it's not like, you know, the episode's called The Virgin. It's, there's something that's kind of isolated more or less in that episode about mm-hmm. Marlo and Jerry. But like in terms of the bigger picture that this season is spelling out, this is a lot to do with the struggling of developing the pilot mm-hmm. and the, frankly, rather dangerous George.
Yeah.
You know, someone who can't seem to help himself. You know, he's just, he can't be comfortable. He can't stay in one place and just kind of charge on through because he's already screwed stuff up in terms of how much they're getting for the pilot. He was thought he was playing hardball, but he's inexperienced in these ways. And Jerry knows a lot more, and Jerry is trying to kind of school George a little bit on how show business works. But yeah, George has got his ways. But that while this is going on with trying to get this pilot sorted out, he's already got the itch about Susan. And this is, I mean, there's something that's kind of surprised me, you know, that hasn't happened earlier. Because every time we've seen George with someone before, or we start an episode and he's already in a relationship with someone, they're always short-lived. There's always a problem. There's always like, oh, you know, she's too this, she's too that. And he can't handle it. You know, he's already looking for a way out, looking a way to sabotage it. They've been together a while here. And he's still looking for a way to sabotage it. And not only that, but it's like, it does risk the project. And Jerry's like 100% right in saying, I don't think this is actually really the sensible time to do this. And kind of reminding George of his responsibilities, because actually, you're not just dating this woman. You two are an item. Yeah. That's more than George has ever had. That we've seen in these episodes anyway. Obviously, these characters exist beyond them. He says, whacking the microphone, I'll enjoy seeing how loud that gets.
I'm going to amplify that bit in isolation and then play it on a loop at the end.
Fantastic. Boots and cats. yes, he's not a committing guy, and he is definitely, I mean, he is a straight up risk to this pilot project. I don't know where the season's going. This pilot is still being worked on.
I know.
And I'm sure it will hopefully come good at the end. But George's journey of how he somehow gets through all of this is going to be an interesting thing to watch amongst everything else.
Sure.
But even Jerry's not perfect on this. He's never written for television before. That's fine. He's trying to get this show about nothing concept off the grounds. And you can see he's struggling as well. The two of them kind of not helping each other. They're both very ready to procrastinate. And boy, do I know about procrastination.
Well, it's not like it's not like Jerry's turning out pages while George isn't about. Is it? It's not like he's getting work done when the distraction is there.
No, he's busy getting frisky in the closet.
Absolutely. With a virgin that sounds a bit weird.
So, and I just briefly want to mention, we'd already talked about it, but, you know, I am pleased that even briefly, in a couple of lines by Elaine at the end of an episode, the viewer is explicitly told, Susan's been through a lot.
Yeah.
Because it was something, you'll remember this, it was something a few episodes ago, I was saying, my God, so much bad stuff has happened to this poor character by stumbling into this rather toxic group of people at times.
Yeah.
And yes, I do feel tremendously sorry for what she's been through.
Yeah.
The burning down of the cabin, the Cheever letters, and now her job.
Susan is a genuinely tragic figure.
Very tragic figure.
Yes.
And for all intents and purposes, a very nice person.
She's lovely. Far, far too good for George, but she comes from a horribly dysfunctional family.
Oh boy,
that's clearly given her immense low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why she works for NBC.
There we go. Those are the jokes, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is good. I really enjoyed it. Got some laughs. Yeah, feeling good about Seinfeld.
Kramer's still not very well serviced. Elaine gets a little bit of story. We still haven't got to the part of... I told you previously that my ideal Seinfeld is the subway. Where
they've all got something to do.
Four characters get four stories. Okay, some of them pair up sometimes. We still, in this season, don't quite get full service for all the characters. Kramer is used an awful lot in the most recent episodes we've watched as comic, pure comic relief.
Yeah. And that's...
Or a baffle.
That's not the best use of him.
No.
It
does change, but I'm saying we're still getting brilliant episodes even though Kramer isn't getting fully serviced.
For the kind of short amount of time he is on screen, though, he is...
Brilliant.
You know, he is owning that screen.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, he is doing great work. For me, I think my favourite kind of Kramer was the Kramer that we saw I've got to remember what it was called. I think The Cafe with Babu Bart.
Yes. Very bad man.
And I think the thing is at the moment, George is actually more this Kramer type than Kramer is.
Yeah.
Where Kramer is kind of the chaos element.
Yeah.
That's throwing, the other three characters kind of off track. And Kramer hasn't got that right now. And with George, specifically his relationship with Jerry, he's being that kind of Kramer.
Oh, you're right, actually. Yeah.
And that's I mean, I can, hair on fire aside, I can deal with a lot of physical stuff with Kramer, but there is a lot more potential in what he can add to a story and to the other three characters than just, you know, being a bit wacky and having a line or two.
It must be so tempting though not to lean on that physical comedy that Michael Richards was kind of famed for before Kramer anyway. You know, he was very much a physical comedian beforehand, so it must be hard.
Mm.
Not to just write Kramer comes in and does wacky. Bit like George Lucas in episode 3. See, it's 25 minutes and I just wrote the fact. Steve, keeping with the Star Wars theme, anything more to add, have you?
I have used all the Force.
Good, you did very well.
Thank you, I enjoyed that.
Me too, it's a great episode.
Mm.
Recommend.
Yes, A++.
Would watch again. We hope you listen again to us, dear listener. Thank you for getting this far through the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We mean that most sincerely. And we hope we get to talk to you again next week on Hello Newman. Until then, goodbye.
Kramer, yeah.